Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome. Here we go again. So happy to be here with you all. We are going to continue reading from the wonderful, wonderful book, The Prophet by Khalil Gibran, written in the early 20th century, published 1923. We've been reading from that and we're going to complete it today. I've been reading this wonderful wisdom, philosophy, poetry. It has so much insight into how to walk through our lives with grace, with reverence, aligning with higher self, aligning with source. And man, it's such a wonderful work of art. Hope you guys have enjoyed it so far. For those of you who haven't caught any of these, this is the first episode you've listened to where I'm talking about The Prophet. You can go back. Originally, episode 476 was part one. And then I picked up just the last few episodes, part two, three, four. This will be the fifth and final episode where I'm reading from the book. So you can find sort of track it back. Part one is just a few weeks previous, and then the rest are all together here. So you should be able to go back. The good news is you don't need to go back. This story, just to give you a quick idea, is about a guy who is stuck on an island for a very long time, and he's looking over the cliff and he sees the boat finally coming from his homeland to take him home. And he is a philosopher and, you know, definitely a enlightened soul of sorts. A lot of wisdom in this chap, hence the title of the book, The Prophet. And as he is, as he's making his way to the shore, he is getting stopped by the townspeople who love him and adore him and are asking him questions, you know, basically asking him to drop some wisdom on him before he's gone. And so he asks, you know, about work and love and joy and sorrow and evil and, you know, different things, right? And so you can really listen at any point. So I'm going to just pick up. Actually, we left off where he's about to be asked about religion. So yeah, I'm going to pick up right where I left off. And like I said, we'll finish up. And here we go. Oh, and by the way, the background music you're hearing is John Z and Alex from the album Rice Boy Sleeps. I always love a little dramatic flair with poetry, and this is a wonderful album that I felt went really well. So that's what you're hearing. Hope you like that too. All right, religion. And an old priest said, "Speak to us of religion." And he said, "Have I spoken this day of aught else? Is not religion all deeds and all reflection? And that which is neither deed nor reflection, but a wonder and a surprise ever springing in the soul, even while the hands hew the stone or tend the loom. Who can separate his faith from his actions or his belief from his occupations? Who can spread his hours before him, saying, 'This for God and this for myself, this for my soul and this for my body'? All your hours are wings that beat through space from self to self. He who wears his morality but as his best garment were better naked. The wind and the sun will tear no holes in his skin. And he who defines his conduct by ethics imprisons his song, bird in a cage. The freest song comes not through bars and wires. And he to whom worshiping is a window to open but also to shut has not yet visited the house of his soul, whose windows are from dawn to dawn. Your daily life is your temple and your religion. Whenever you enter into it, take with you your all. Take the plow and the forge and the mallet and the lute. The things you have fashioned in necessity or for delight. For in reverie you cannot rise above your achievements nor fall lower than your failures. And take with you all men. For in adoration you cannot fly higher than their hopes nor humble yourself lower than their despair. And if you would know God, be not therefore a solver of riddles. Rather, look about you, and you shall see him playing with your children. And look into space, you shall see him walking in the cloud, outstretching his arms in the lightning and descending in rain. You shall see him smiling in flowers, then rising and waving his hands in trees. I love this one. It's basically saying, why would we ever create any division at all? It is it all. What it once again, always, Khalil is coming back to that. It's all the same thing. It's all reflections of the same thing. Creating any divisions or putting yourself on any pedestal or judging others is just encaging yourself, and you have not found the true view, if you will, of how source sees things, of how higher self sees things. It knows that, you know, there's space for it all. And that's a great question to always ask yourself. Can I be the space for this, whatever is arising in your life? And that is how source sees things. That is, bringing love to all circumstances, all situations, all people, all different paths back to the source, right? We have so much division about religion in our society, and it's kind of ironic because true religion would be the coming together of all things. Next is death. Then Alemetra spoke, saying, we would ask now of death. And he said, you would know the secret of death, but how shall you find it unless you seek it in the heart of life? The owl, whose night-bound eyes are blind unto the day, cannot unveil the mystery of light. If you would indeed behold the spirit of death, open your heart wide into the body of life. For life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one. In the depth of your hopes and your desires lies your silent knowledge of the beyond. And like seeds dreaming beneath the snow, your heart dreams of spring. Trust the dreams, for in them is hidden the gate of eternity. Your fear of death is but the trembling of the shepherd when he stands before the king whose hand is to be laid upon him in honor. Is the shepherd not joyful beneath his trembling, that he shall wear the mark of the king? Yet is he not more mindful of his trembling? For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and to melt into the sun? And what is to cease breathing but to free the breath from its restless tide, that it may rise and expand and seek God unencumbered? Only when you drink from the river of silence shall you indeed sing. And when you have reached the mountaintop, then you shall begin to climb. And when the earth shall claim your limbs, then shall you truly dance. Death is life. Life is death. Death is a birth. When you were born to this dimension, I believe you had a sort of death to where you came from. When you die to this dimension, I believe it will be a death. The death in this dimension will be a birth into the next, where you originally came from. It's the ebb and flow. It's the in and out of God, right? This is how we play throughout eternity. And it's two sides of the same coin. I think of Eben Alexander, who was on the show a long time ago, talking about his profound near-death experience and how, you know, once on the other side, in the space and waiting room, if you will, before coming and incarnating, how familiar it was, how many times he'd been there. This is something that you've been doing. You have amnesia to the fact that you've been doing, but you've been doing it for a very, very infinite time, if you will. The farewell. So this is where he's about to leave. I believe, if I recall, it's been a while since I've read it, but it's titled The Farewell. And Alemetra, the seer, said, blessed be this day and this place and your spirit that has spoken. And he answered, was it I who spoke? Was I not also a listener? Then he descended the steps of the temple, and all the people followed him, and he reached his ship and stood upon the deck. And facing the people again, he raised his voice and said, people of Orphalese, the wind bids me leave you. Less hasty am I than the wind, yet I must go. We wanderers, ever seeking the lonelier way, begin no day where we have ended another day, and no sunrise finds us where sunset left us. Even while the earth sleeps, we travel. We are the seeds of the tenacious plant, and it is not our ripeness and our fullness of heart that we are given to the wind and are scattered. Brief were my days among you, and briefer still the words I have spoken. But should my voice fade in your ears and my love vanish in your memory, then I will come again, and with a richer heart and lips more yielding to the spirit will I speak. Yea, I shall return with the tide, and though death may hide me, and the greater silence enfold me, yet again will I seek your understanding. And not in vain will I seek. If aught I have said is truth, the truth shall reveal itself in a clearer voice, and in words more kin to your thoughts. I go with the wind, people of Orphalese, but not down into emptiness. And if this day is not a fulfillment of your needs and my love, then let it be a promise till another day. Man's need change, but not his love, nor his desire that his love should satisfy his needs. Know therefore that from the greater silence I shall return. The mist that drifts away at dawn, leaving but dew in the fields, shall rise and gather into a cloud and then fall down in rain. And not unlike the mist have I been. In the stillness of the night, I have walked in your streets, and my spirit has entered your houses, and your heart beats were in my heart, and your breath was upon my face, and I knew you all. I knew your joy and your pain, and in your sleep, your dreams were my dreams. And oftentimes I was among you, a lake among the mountains. I mirrored the summits in you, and the bending slopes, and even the passing flocks of your thoughts and your desires. And to my silence came the laughter of your children in streams and the longing of your youths in rivers. And when they reached my depth, the streams and the rivers ceased not yet to sing, but sweeter still than laughter and greater than longing came to me. It was boundless in you, the vast man in whom you were all but cells and sinews, he in whose chant all your singing is but a soundless throbbing. It is in the vast man that you are vast, and in beholding him that I beheld you and loved you. For what distances can love reach that are not in the vast sphere? What visions, what expectations, and what presumptions can outsoar that flight? Like a giant oak tree covered with apple blossoms, and the vast is the vast man in you. His mind binds you to the earth, his fragrance lifts you into space, and in his durability you are deathless. You've been told that even like a chain, you are as weak as your weakest link. This is but half the truth. You are also as strong as your strongest link. To measure you by your smallest deed is to reckon the power of the ocean by the frailty of its foam. To judge you by your failures is to cast blame upon the seasons for their inconsistency. You are like an ocean, and though heavy grounded ships await the tide upon your shores, yet even like an ocean, you cannot hasten your tides. And like the seasons, you are also, and though in your winter you deny your spring, yet spring, reposing within you, smiles in her drowsiness and is not offended. Think not I say these things in order that you may say the one to the other, he praised us well, he saw but the good in us. I only speak to you in words of that which you yourselves know in thought. And what is word knowledge but a shadow of wordless knowledge? Your thoughts and my words are waves from a sealed memory that keeps records of our yesterdays and of the ancient days when the earth knew not us nor herself, and of nights when earth was upwrought with confusion. Wise men have come to you to give you of their wisdom. I came to take of your wisdom, and behold, I have found that which is greater than wisdom. It is a flame spirit in you, ever gathering more of itself. While you, heedless of its expansion, bewail the withering of your days. It is life in quest of life in bodies that fear the grave. There are no graves here. These mountains and plains are a cradle and a stepping stone. Whenever you pass by the field where you have laid your ancestors, look well thereupon, and you shall see yourselves and your children dancing hand in hand. Verily, you often make merry without knowing. Others have come to you, to whom, for golden promises made into your faith, you have given but riches and power and glory. Less than a promise have I given, and yet more generous have you been to me. You have given me deeper thirsting after life. Surely there is no greater gift to a man than that which turns all his aims into parching lips and all life into a fountain. And in this lies my honor and my reward, that whenever I come to the fountain to drink, I find the living water itself thirsty, and in it drinks me while I drink it. Some of you have deemed me proud and over shy to receive gifts. Too proud indeed am I to receive wages, but not gifts. And though I have eaten berries among the hill, when you would have had me sit at your board and slept in the portico of the temple where you would gladly have sheltered me, yet was it not your loving mindfulness of my days and my nights that made food sweet to my mouth and girded my sleep with visions? For this I bless you most. You give much and know not that you give it all. Verily, the kindness that gazes upon itself in a mirror turns to stone, and a good deed that calls itself by tender names becomes the parent to a curse. And some of you have called me aloof and drunk with my own aloneness. And you have said, he holds counsel with the trees of the forest, but not with men. He sits alone on hilltops and looks down upon our city. True it is that I have climbed the hills and walked in remote places. How could I have seen you save from a great height or a great distance? How can one be indeed near unless to be far? And others among you called unto me, not in words, as and they said, stranger, stranger, lover of unreachable heights, why dwell you among the summits where eagles build their nest? Why seek you the unattainable? What storms would you trap in your net? And what vapors, birds, do you hunt in the sky? Come and be one of us. Descend and appease your hunger with our bread and quench your thirst with our wine. In the solitude of their souls, they said these things. But were their solitude deeper, they would have known that I sought but the secret of your joy and your pain, and I hunted only your larger selves that walked the sky. But the hunter was also the hunted, for many of my arrows left my bow only to seek my own breast. And the flyer was also the creeper, for when my wings were spread in the sun, their shadows upon the earth was a turtle. And I, the believer, was also the doubter. For often have I put my finger in my own wound that I might have the greater belief in you and the greater knowledge of you. And it is with this belief and this knowledge that I say, you are not enclosed within your bodies nor confined to houses or fields. That which is you dwells above the mountains and roves with the wind. It is not a thing that crawls into the sun for warmth or digs holes into darkness for safety, but a thing free, a spirit that envelops the earth and moves into the ether. If this be vague words, then seek not to clear them. Vague and nebulous is the beginning of all things, but not their end. And I fain would have you remember me as a beginning. Life and all that lives is conceived in the midst and not in the crystal. And who knows but a crystal is mist and decay. This would I have you remember in remembering me. That which seems most feeble and bewildered in you is the strongest and most determined. Is it not your breath that has erected and hardened the structure of your bones? And is it not a dream which none of you remember having dreamt, that building your city and fashioned all there is in it? Could you but see the tides of that breath, you would cease to see all else. And if you could hear the whispering of the dream, you would hear no other sound. But you do not see, nor do you hear, and it is well. The veil that clouds your eyes shall be lifted by the hands that wove it. And the clay that fills your ears shall be pierced by those fingers that kneaded it. And you shall see and you shall hear. Yet you shall not deplore having known blindness, nor regret having been deaf. For in that day you shall know the hidden purpose in all things, and you shall bless darkness as you would bless light. After saying these things, he looked about him, and he saw the pilot of his ship standing by the helm and gazing now at the full sails and now at the distance. And he said, patient, overpatient is the captain of my ship. The wind blows and restless are the sails. Even the rudder begs direction. Yet quietly my captain awaits my silence. And these, my mariners, who have heard the choir of the greater sea, they too have heard me patiently. Now they shall wait no longer. I am ready. The stream has reached the sea, and once more the great mother holds her son against her breast. Fare you well, people of Orphalese. This day has ended. It is closing upon us, even as the water lily upon its own tomorrow. What was given us here, we shall keep. And if it suffices not, then again must we come together, and together stretch our hands unto the giver. Forget not that I shall come back to you. A little while, and my longing shall gather dust and foam for another body. A little while, a moment of rest upon the wind, and another woman shall bear me. Farewell to you and the youth I have spent with you. It was but yesterday we met in a dream. You have sung to me in my aloneness, and I of your longings have built a tower in the sky. But now our sleep has fled and our dream is over, and it is no longer dawn. The noontide is upon us, and our half-waking has turned to fuller day, and we must part. If in the twilight of memory we should meet once more, we shall speak again together, and you shall sing to me a deeper song. And if our hands should meet in another dream, we shall build another tower in the sky. So saying, he made a signal to the seamen, and straightway they weighed anchor and cast the ship loose from its moorings, and they moved eastward. And a cry came from the people as from a single heart, and it rose the dusk and was carried out over the sea like a great trumpeting. Only Almitra was silent, gazing after the ship until it had vanished into the mist. And when all the people were dispersed, she still stood alone upon the seawall, remembering her heart his saying, "A little while, a moment of rest upon the wind, and another woman shall bear me." That is the end of The Prophet. Such a beautiful, powerful piece of work. Such beauty. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. I love, you know, some of the things he said here that really stood out. He talked about coming, you know, that he'll come again. He'll come again. It's the same thing that Jesus taught, right? It's the same thing. It's like the energy that he encapsulated, the love, the wisdom, the reverence, all those things, Christ consciousness, right? Jesus was a man. Christ was a state of consciousness, Buddha consciousness. That's what he really was representing here. And he's saying that I always come again. This energy, this love, it's eternal, and it's always will find its way back to you. I love how he talked about you're only as strong as the weakest link. And you know, the opposite of that. We always hear that saying, but you're also as strong as the strongest link. That is a reflection of you too. And that really stood out to me. And so any of you out there who feel weak, know that you are strong. You are strong as the prophet. He is a reflection of you. It's why you're hearing his words, why you're hearing Khalil's words, even though he's been long gone from this dimension, right? He's with you in the moment as you hear it, because he is these words. Anyone you admire, if you admire my work, if you admire anything you see in me, I am but a reflection of you. You are as strong as the strongest link, and there are much stronger links than I, and we are climbing the ladder to find our way to these lost parts of self. And as you continue that journey, I love the fact that I get to be with you and share the experience with you for some time, however long that may be. I hope your journey today is just a little brighter, and you're finding reverence in all things and in the wisdom that was imparted in these writings. Live with you. And until next time, journey well. I love you all.